Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious and loving God, we pray for the state of our fallen and broken world and our fallen and broken nation. We pray for ourselves, because we often can be fallen and broken as well. Lord, we pray for the times when self is more important than unity, when my way is more important than your way. We pray for even when sin is legalized. As the Old Testament records the unfaithfulness of your people, Israel, we recognize our own sin and the sin of our nation. Human history and into our present days, Lord God, you know that our history is scarred. We have neglected to live obediently to you. Too many have turned completely away from you. Lord God, we seek your forgiveness and we pray for repentant hearts. We pray that you would heal the world. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, may your love comfort every soul as only the comfort you can bring. Bring hope to the hopeless and unity where there is conflict. Motivate us by our love to work together, gathering souls for Christ. Show us our place and our path, O Father, and embolden us to obey your direction. While many can describe our world as crumbling, Lord, you remain the same loving, defending, and protecting Father, and we praise you and we give you thanks. And amidst the rebellion and the destruction, you reach down to restore us into the light of your presence through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray the words of John 14, 27, when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Lord God, we pray for the people on the list of concerns. We pray for their healing. We rejoice in Elliot J's birth. Lord, we pray for your strength and guidance as we will go forth this day from this sanctuary. Help us. Help us to worship you and to serve you and to glorify you. Unite us in this time of prayer as we pray the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names that nothing can stand against. And I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all.
Thank you, Josh. Great job. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. And in these verses, the Father is revealed through the Son. We begin at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Praise be to God.
According to a Greek legend, in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing children's games with some little boys. The man laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted much time in such frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow, loosening its string, and placing it on the ground. And then he asked of the critical Athenian, "Now answer the riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several moments, and he had no idea what point Aesop was trying to make. So Aesop explained, "If you keep a bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for when you're ready to use it." As you think about the point Aesop was making, we people are like that bow. We all need to take time to rest, to be a little unstrung. If we don't rest, we could build to a breaking point, which is never a good place to be. In the scripture that we've read from Mark 6 earlier, Jesus advocated time off for his weary disciples after they had returned from a lengthy time of public ministry. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 2, verse 3, God set a pattern for us. He blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creation. Shouldn't we take God's example seriously in our own lives? We need to take time to relax physically and to renew ourselves emotionally and spiritually. We will be at our best for the Lord if we take time to loosen the bow. Now, blessedly, there are plenty of special times in our lives where we can experience rest. Those days of vacation, those getaway weekends, those nights or days away, when we wake up in the morning and our view is of a sun gloriously shining over a tranquil lake, or maybe that sun is shining down on a sandy beach, or highlighting a majestic mountain or a picturesque valley. It's easy in those special places, those happy places people talk about, to breathe a little bit more deeply, to rest and to relax and to renew. Maybe you enjoy relaxing in a hammock. Maybe you enjoy hiking through the woods or lying on that beach, or maybe taking a long bike ride. All good ways to let our mind rest, to be at rest, to rest a while. What does that mean to you? To rest a while. How do you experience rest and renewal in your own life? Now, those happy places are great, but the challenge for us is to find that time of rest in our everyday, ordinary, activity-filled lives. I'm sure that we each know plenty of people who are of all ages who are constantly on the go, who find it difficult to sit for too many minutes at a time. There's always something grabbing their attention, something needing to be done. I'm glad I don't know anybody like that at all. I received a text this week from a minister of another church. The text simply said, "Why are there always so many things to do?" You ask yourself that question? Why are there always so many things to do, so many things to get done? At church, at school, in the business world, in manufacturing, in the service industry, to name just some of the realms of the world, there are always deadlines to meet. There are always so many things to do. I've been encouraged by a devotional piece that one of you shared with me that bore the title, Remember and Rest. Remember and Rest. As Christian people, we are called, we are challenged to remember the truth of God's word, instruction and guidance from the Bible, and to remember very important verses from Scripture. The Lord told Moses in Exodus, "I will give you rest." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." That's rest. In Mark 6:31, Jesus invited his disciples to go away with him to a quiet place and rest. In Matthew 11, Jesus calls us all to come to him, calling all who are weary and burdened, and he will give us rest. Over the years, there's always a great debate for those people that really enjoy a prelude before the service or those people that just want to move from announcements and get service started. That prelude is an intentional time to rest. To rest. Weary means to be tired, to be exhausted in strength. You have no sense of vigor left. You are wore out, burdened. You're carrying a burden. You're heavy laden or encumbered with a load. Illustration was physical, but it's often the mental and the emotional and spiritual load that can be very heavy. Some interpret the word to mean that the burdens are those loads that other people place upon us. In the Hebrew, the use of the word rest can mean to settle down, to dwell, to stay, to withdraw from the activity and rest, to find comfort, to be quiet. In the Greek, The use of the word rest can mean to repose or to recline, to refresh, to take it easy, and to just rest. Hear the words of Jesus once again. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says to come. Jesus calls us to himself. We are called to be with Jesus as our personal Lord, our personal Savior. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. I've got a couple of pictures of yokes. Just the yoke itself on your sermon page in the bulletin, and also a yoke that's actually in use. And the Bible often draws upon this imagery and the reality of a yoke. It's a piece of equipment used to connect two oxen or two draft animals together, combining their energy, so it's not just one, but it's two, pulling whatever that heavy load might be, and they're working in that yoke side by side. I read this week that when training a new ox, it was often yoked to a trained, seasoned ox. And naturally, the experienced ox bears the majority of the load as they begin. And since the older one leads, the younger ox does not really have to wonder what to do. It just has to follow the lead of the experienced ox. And since the older one leads, the younger one just continues to learn over and over and over. He learns from his mentor, and he gains the knowledge and the skill to eventually teach other ox. That's the image that Jesus is making use of in our passage. Jesus invites us to learn from him. How would you describe Jesus? Teacher, Lord, Savior. Well, he's also a mentor. He yokes up with us, we yoke up with him as he calls us and we respond, and we are walking side by side with Jesus. That old Footprints piece of poetry. And Jesus describes that yoke as easy. It's easy. It doesn't really mean simple, but it means good. The yoke is good. The Greek word for easy can mean useful, manageable, mild, and pleasant. Jesus yokes himself with us, and we have this good experience because with Jesus, we can handle the load because he's walking along beside us. There is fellowship and there's companionship in being yoked with Jesus. And he says the yoke is easy and light. It is easier. It is lighter as we walk with Jesus, as we follow his lead, as we remember to seek the purpose Jesus has for our lives. I was concerned yesterday in this whole aspect of making another float. You know, there weren't that many people signed up, and yet there were plenty of people there yesterday to help because we were yoked together, working together, doing something side by side. The burden is light because Jesus bears the burden with us. The burden is light until we fall away. The burden is light until we rebel and we forsake the presence and the guidance of the Lord. Jesus says, I am gentle and humble in heart. That describes the very real nature of Jesus. It echoes what Paul writes of in Philippians chapter 2, the servant heart, the humble servant heart of Jesus, because he's always caring for others. It's not about himself. It's about others. And you will find rest for your souls. This descriptive phrase echoes God's word to Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says to the prophet. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. It's good direction, but verse 16 ends with the phrase, but you said, we will not walk in it. The Israelites chose not to obey, chose not to follow the Lord. And they went their own way, and their burden was very, very heavy. The people refused to walk in God's paths. Instead, they went their own way, and there was no peace. There was no rest for them. If you are carrying a heavy load, if the burdens are too much, it could be that you are not carrying the yoke properly. You might be pulling against Jesus. Remember to let Jesus bear the yoke with you. Remember. Remember the words and the teachings of Scripture. Remember and rest. The Confession of St. Augustine on this subject, also on the sermon page, St. Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." It is not the view that brings us rest. It is not the absence of responsibilities or stress that brings us rest. It is not the sound of the crashing waves or the sand we feel between our toes that brings rest. It is not a healthy family or a safe home or a steady paycheck that brings rest. A comfortable life without tension or worry is not even the thing that will ultimately bring us rest. These things all bring relief, which is good, but relief is not rest. A certain set of circumstances cannot bring us the deep, abiding rest that comes only in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you call us to yourself. We thank you and we praise you that the burden is made easier. It's made lighter. It is made good because you walk with us. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Let us return a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with in so many ways. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Thank you. Gracious God, your love has been with us since the world began. In gratitude, we bring these gifts to you now. Use them and us so that others may come to know of your great generosity and can find rest in you. Amen.
Let us now sing our closing hymn. It is Blessed Assurance. It is found on page number 345 for those of you who'd like to follow along in the hymnal. We will then have our spoken benediction. And then our benediction and song is a prayer. It is Savior again to thy dear name. And it is found on page number 604 of your red hymnals. Let us sing Blessed Assurance.
Apostle Paul writes, "For I am convinced, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen."